Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And today, I'm going to try to point to, describe, speak to what I think is the heart of why the Inside Out Understanding, why these little weekly conversations you and I have can make such a difference. And it's because at their best, they point us, and by the way, they point us both. I'll talk more about that in a second, but they point us to a space that is within all of us. In one of my books, I call it The Space Within. But for today, I'm going to call it The Space Before Thought. You could call it the space of meditation or the state of meditation. In a lot of meditation practices, they talk about how when you allow thought to come and go, like objects in a river flowing by as you sit on the riverbank, that the space between thoughts becomes larger, and you start to experience a kind of a profound quiet or stillness or silence. And that is the state of meditation. Not the practice, but the state. But that space between thought is really a glimpse in my mind of the space before thought. It's the space that babies seem to live in. They don't yet have lots of conceptual thinking. In fact, I was talking to a friend who's got a young baby who's just discovered its hand and can spend hours staring at its hand. And babies, essentially, if you've ever been around one, you know that unless they're hungry or tired or need changing, they live in that space. And that's kind of how we know it's natural to us. It's not a learned thing. When we unlearn all our conditioned thinking, all our ideas about how the world works, all our ideas about what we have to do in order to get to quiet or stillness or peace, we start to see that those things are a part of our true nature. They are a part of what we are made of. And there are so many words that have been used to try to describe that space. But it's a space that exists before words. It's the space out of which words come. It would be like a mirror trying to look at itself, to describe itself. It will never be able to do it adequately. Because the best it can do is see its own reflection in another mirror. And that's what so much teaching is. That's what so much coaching is simply being a smooth mirror, reflecting back the mirror of somebody else's soul, the mirror of somebody else's consciousness, so that they can glimpse it in your mirror, or you can glimpse it in theirs. I talked about that's something that I'm pointing not just to you, but for me. One of my favorite George Bernard Shaw quotes, I used it as the front of my very first book, is, I am not a teacher. I am but a fellow traveler of whom you asked the way. I pointed ahead of me as well as you. The more time you spend in the space before thought, the more incredible, the more vast, the more beautifully silent you experience it to be, the more it starts to permeate every waking moment, the more you are able to, instead of taking 15 minutes or half an hour or an hour out of your day to meditate, the more you are able to live your life from that space of meditation, from that place inside you, before thought. And it's why so much of the psychological teaching, of the self-help teaching, of the personal development teaching about positive thinking, better thinking, reframing, it's why, helpful though those things can seem in the moment, they can make us feel better in the moment, because it feels nicer to think a positive thought than a negative thought, to think a happy thought than a sad thought. They're both obscuring the space. And the space itself is what we're really all looking for, whether we know it or not. We're all looking for silence. We're all looking for peace. We're all looking for contentment. It's just that we all have a lot of very different ideas about what has to happen in the world or in ourselves before we can have it. But what if the space before thought is all there is before thought, before the ideas of what you need to have or what you need to do or how the world needs to change is the very thing that you are hoping that changing the world or changing yourself is going to give you? And the great thing is, that doesn't even mean you can't change the world from that space. In fact, in many ways, it's the only way the world can truly change. Because otherwise, if you look at the history of the world, it's like a pendulum swing from one idea about how to change the world to another. And each pendulum swing brings a new set of problems that the next pendulum swing tries to resolve. Yet, from this space, consciousness itself changes. The way people think about life transforms, not as the result of a specific set of activities, but because certain things that used to look normal and like good ideas now look crazy. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, things like slavery and racism looked totally cool. Like, not just acceptable, but the way things were meant to be. And while there are, of course, still pockets of racism and sexism and all the isms, there are relatively few places now where human consciousness looks at that and goes, oh, cool. That's the evolution of consciousness. That's how spending time in the space before thought changes the world. But even if it didn't, every moment spent in that inner space, that space within, that space before thought, will bring you so much peace, will allow so much of your natural well-being to bubble up inside you, will allow so much of your innate creativity to come up and express through you, that your world changes. And when your world changes, you become the change you want to see in the world. And as best I can tell, that's the only way things really change for the better. Have fun, learn heaps, happy exploring, and I'll talk with you soon.